Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome.
That's your intro. Yes. You're supposed to say, welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart, with Rachel and Dennis on the show today. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. My husband is here today.
Hey, yo. That's my intro.
That's your intro.
Always.
And I think we should start off and say that we are in our tiny cabin and our four-year-old daughter is in the other room watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we might hear a little bit of Surf's Up in the background or some nagging from her.
Probably the second one.
Isn't it funny how I feel like she's really, really good at playing on her own. She's really good at, I don't know, she just listens well. She's just super chill to hang out with. But whenever there's an urgent thing, like I've had that experience these whole 2 months, whenever it's like, okay, now I really need peace and quiet because I have to record a podcast, then she's like, mama, mama, mama. Like everything gets really intense. But anyway, if you hear anything in the background, that's it. So I have Dennis on the show. It's been a while.
Yep. Or actually, I don't know.
I just know it's been a while. It's been a while since anything.
It feels less of a while compared to the normal while.
Last time we recorded, life was different.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded in our house at home in Aruba.
Yep.
We sat in my podcast room.
In the Caribbean.
In my podcast chair.
Mm-hmm.
With our cappuccinos. Like, I remember that exact moment because that was like the regular life moment.
Yeah.
And what's new?
Sweden is new.
Life is new.
Yeah.
How, I don't know. This is one of those things where our entire lives have completely changed, but it's hard to, I don't know how to talk about that.
Yeah.
How do you feel being in Sweden? Well, wait, let's back up a little bit. So Leia and I spent almost 2 months in Sweden by ourselves. And what were you doing?
I stayed on the island and renovated, remediated, and what else? Something else that ends with an Asian.
With an ideated.
Ideated Asian nation. I don't know. Yeah, I worked my butt off for 2 months. It was 3 months, but 2 months without you guys.
And how was that?
I never felt as productive. I never felt so productive in my life. I was working 12 to 14 hours a day. And yeah, straight. Got a lot of shit done.
I
didn't think I could have done that if you guys were on the island.
No. I mean, it was a good thing that we left, but I have never seen you that productive either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it nice to just have a clear A to Z, here is the goal, I have to accomplish this?
It wasn't like that. I know what I wanted or what the goal was for us, but it's a Pandora's box. You open it and you keep digging and it's never ending. And then all of a sudden, finally, there was a light in the tunnel and we figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, so in terms of the house, we have a new roof.
Yeah. We basically have a new house.
Do you think we could have torn the house down and rebuilt it? Would that have been
No.
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 I mean, it's like,
it would have taken longer and yeah.
Just planning and money, I guess. It feels like a new house. It looks like a new house. The mold is gone.
Basically.
Yeah, to the degree that it for sure can be gone. So this is the thing about mold. It's like you can remediate a house. You can get all the materials that have been moldy, every issue. I mean, we've thrown away 90% of everything that was in the house, every mattress, every couch, every cushion, everything is gone. tore out the walls, like
found the main source.
Found the source. Yeah. Tell me about the attic. The attic was the main source of
No.
That. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
For you?
For me, the attic was like hell. Yeah.
Yeah. The attic has, for me, that was the easiest part.
For you. Well, for you, the master bedroom was this, like the top part running down.
The master bedroom was the hardest one for me. So we had two different types of visible mold.
Once we opened shit up.
Yeah. One of it was in the master bedroom, which was kind of harder to deal with because it was a problem that would have reoccurred even if we had fixed it, thrown everything out and just put it back as it was. It was a problem that would have reoccurred because it was from the structure of the building.
Like a leak there, condensation from the AC.
It was, yeah, basically. And in the attic was the normal type, the usual suspect that you would get in Aruba, the white.
The regular mold.
Aspergillus. Correct.
Yeah.
And that was easier to dealt with. It was more known weight.
Like the attic, just because one, we didn't know we had a fucking attic. Like that was like a what? I don't know. It just felt like we had a whole area of our home that we didn't know existed.
Yeah.
That for me was just shocking. Like, and it wasn't an attic where you can spend time or store things even. It was just like a crawl space, but up under the roof basically. But, and then seeing the mold in there. Yeah. But so tell me that process, because people ask about that a lot. Like, what was the process? If you take the attic as an example, how did you deal with the mold?
Basically, there's like these big machines that I can't remember the names anymore, so that you can breathe up there. And then you have the HEPA vac that you would have to like full on vac the whole surface and then do a 3-step process where one of it, I can't remember the name of the products, but it was like a 3-step like full on mold process, which the mold dude helped me with from the States in Aruba. And once that was done, we actually had a local company as well do the regular, like standard remediation.
After the first.
Yeah. So it actually got done twice.
But then every surface of the attic is now sealed with some sort of weird sealant. I don't even know what you call it.
Latex.
It's like latex. Yeah. We latexed the attic.
Basically. Anyway, the attic for me was more of a normal situation. It was something that was easy. Everyone who worked in this, it was like, oh yeah, this is, of course. And then it was easy to fix. Yeah. But in the master room, we had to change a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that's...
Tell me what.
We had to change the location of the AC because it was blowing 5 feet away straight into a blackout curtain, which on the other side was 95 degrees. Fahrenheit, 30 plus degrees Celsius, and the other side is like 20 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, like 65, I guess.
Yeah, like super super cold on the inside and super hot on the outside, yeah. Which creates.
And then in the morning we would turn off the AC and roll up the blinds, and it's beautiful, covered in there. And then we roll it back down, and yeah, we see a little bit of a spot on the inside, and we're like, oh, we need to clean this, and we lived with that, and we're like cleaning that little spot. But then none of us ever thought to look on the other side
of that
blackout. And that was just
hell. It was covered in mold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black mold.
Like the whole inside of the whole structure of the blackout curtain. Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, probably this. And I've been thinking about this a lot, because figuring out that the worst room in the house was the master bedroom makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Also, why I felt like much like shit.
No, you would go sleep upstairs and feel so much better the next day. And then you would like
I think we had podcasts about this where like we didn't go all the way into it because it was a sensitive subject for you. Like I felt like I had to hold back a little bit on that. But in my podcast room, like my sacred space where I would do my practices and everything, we had this really beautiful that we had to get rid of, but really beautiful like pull out couch that became a queen bed, like a perfect queen bed.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would go sleep up there and I'm like, I have 3 dogs in this fucking bedroom and then a 6'4" giant husband that's like a heater. He's like a heater. Like he's so warm, so hot. And then a kid coming in the middle of the night, kicking me from the other. And I'm like, I can't sleep. I sleep so horribly. And I always had that feeling. I sleep terribly in our bedroom. But I would equate it to there's just too much stuff going on. Like Leia comes in and then, yeah, I don't know. It was just, I never occurred to me that something was wrong with our bedroom.
Yeah.
I just thought it was the energy of stuff. And then I had a human design reading with a girl. Her name is Erin. And one of the first things she said, she's like, I don't know if you know this about yourself, but you're one of the very few, like, small percentage of people who isn't made to sleep with a lot of stuff going on. And you might be a better solo sleeper than you are like a co-sleeper. And I was like, oh my God, because every time I go up into this podcast space and I sleep alone, I would wake up and you would always say, like, you're so happy.
Yeah.
The next day, like, everything is peaceful and everything is chill, because I would wake up not feeling like I was run over by a truck or something. Like, every morning I would wake up in the master bedroom feeling like shit.
Yeah.
And I would blame you for that. Or I would blame Ringo, or I'd blame Leia, or I'd blame whatever. There's always something going on. The wind outside and the dogs are barking. Like, I don't know. But it wasn't that. It was mold. Like, that room was making me super sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. So, I mean, it was a cool process for me from afar. It was a cool practice to just let go, like, of our whole entire house. And you just took the reins.
Yeah, it was just a shit storm.
Shit storm.
No, it just sucked. So much money, so much, like, into, like, for the longest time, it was an invisible enemy, for an invisible thing making me go crazy that I didn't understand. And then all of a sudden, there was something tangible. There was something that we could see, you know?
Yeah.
There was test results. There was, there was all these things that you know what to do with. Like, it started making sense. If something doesn't make logical sense for me, then
yeah,
I go crazy. Like, I need to understand it.
What was the turning? Because we haven't done an episode about the mold.
I thought we did like 6 or 7.
With you on it?
With me? No.
No. That's what I mean. You and me haven't done. Yeah. Like, I have done.
I think you've been only talking about mold.
I spoke about mold for like months. I mean, I'm sure people are like sick of hearing about mold. No, but you and I didn't talk about the mold. And I had an episode where I shared that I felt really alone. I felt like you weren't really believing me. I felt like no one was taking my illness seriously. What was the turning point for you where it got really real?
When I was able to start seeing it. When I was able to see it and understand why it's happening. Because there's one thing, knowing that you have it and not knowing why it's happening. Like, then you're just going crazy in circles. But we knew it was there. We had the results. We had a gentleman help us like locate the source of the issue, and then had a way to solve it. And once those three steps were in place, it was a lot easier for me to like to go for it. Huh. But either way, it sucked, because it's like, it really felt like we were throwing money away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's been so many stages to this too. What was the hardest stage? Like, if you look at the year, like, even now, so we're halfway through the year, which is fucking crazy. It's almost end of June, the middle of June. So January, I got sick. February, I thought I was going to die. March, I was sick. Middle of March, we got the test results from the independent lab test that I did. We moved out. Most of April, we were fighting, kind of.
Yeah, because we were living in shitty Airbnbs, while our house felt so much cleaner and is a lot more beautiful.
That was the worst. Like, paying hundreds of dollars to go to Airbnbs that were just every drawer you open, it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, not a great place to live. And it's like, we have a perfect house that's super clean, that looks amazing, but it's like, we can't be in there. That was really hard to, but even just those whole times. And then, I mean, and then May, Leia and I, or beginning of May, when did we leave? End of April? I can't remember.
Yeah, end of April, I think.
What's been the hardest couple of weeks? Like, if you look back at this year, this half year that's passed, 2021, what's been your hardest time?
When we had to move out.
That exact moment, like those
when
weeks.
We had to move out, and when we were like cleaning all of our belongings that we were able to save. So everything that had a hard surface that wasn't like a material that you couldn't clean. We were just wiping them down with all these chemicals one by one over and over and over for weeks. It was the worst. It was like,
I repressed this. I like almost can't remember that this
happened. No, this for me, like, if this happens again, I'm like, I'm out. I'm peace.
You're out for what?
I'm going to go in a cabin in the fucking Sweden and you guys figure it out.
We trade. Yeah. Oh man, no, we can't go through this again. This is like one of those things that you can manage one time, like in a lifetime you can.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I think about what we have in Aruba and what our lives are there and the belongings that we have in Terra Shala, which is like one of the shalas at Island Yoga. And I have 4 boxes there. I have some crystals. I have some books that I've wiped down. Not counting clothes. We have a shit ton of clothes like that we can be grateful that we got to wash and keep clothes. But I was even thinking, like, if we moved to Sweden, it wouldn't take that much for us. We don't have any furniture anymore. Like, we don't... What do we have? Do you... Like, we don't have our bed. We don't have any of our... We don't have anything.
We have Leia's treehouse.
Leia's treehouse. Leia's, like, really pretty bed. We have. Yeah.
And we have my bikes.
Thank God. Thank God we have your bikes.
Your big computer.
My big computer.
Are we going to itemize everything?
No, we're not. Sorry. Sorry, guys. No, but it would be very easy to make the transition and move somewhere else is what I was getting at.
And this would be a point that it would be able to happen.
Yeah. If we are ever going to move, this is kind of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you finished the house. We decided to Airbnb the house. Technically, like, you slept in the house in the last week. It was really wonderful. Like, that, the moment you could be in the house and everybody could be in the house without masks and protective gear and shit.
We could have been in the house for the last 3 weeks, but then I still had to, like, order beds. I had to, like, it was like, you can be there. It was safe and everything. It was just, we didn't have things to live in on.
It was empty. Yeah. And then you stayed there before you came. And we decided to, because this is the moment, all of our personal belongings are out. The house has never been prettier.
Yep.
That bums me out a little bit, that it's never been more beautiful and more, like, renovated. And all the little things that were broken that I always wanted to fix, everything is perfect now. And we are Airbnb-ing the house for the time being while we decide where to live and what to do.
That's correct.
And how's that been? That's like a new thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still the beginning.
Yeah.
We have to figure it out. We have a couple of bookings, but we have to see, because if that happens, if it's actually, I don't want to call our home a business, but if it turns into like a good source of income, I don't know if we should move back into a big house like that. Maybe we should find something a little bit more modest.
So that we can make money.
So we can keep making money. I don't know. But yeah, it would be nice if with this Airbnb thing, yeah, we can get some of our money back, because it was a huge dent. We broke.
We're broke now. We're broke now. So if you want to take a vacation in Aruba so we can make our money back, come visit and stay in our house at our Airbnb before we decide what to do with our lives. Yeah, but that's a feeling. It's a good feeling that we can move back anytime.
Yeah.
Like that.
Or
feeling.
We just go back home.
Yeah. Yeah. That feeling is, it brings me, yeah, even though it's probably not where we're leaning toward doing, it's a feeling of relief. It's a feeling of being able to relax. It's a feeling of, like, Leia's childhood home, our home that we put all of our hearts in. Like, we can,
yeah, safe.
It's safe. We can move back anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now we're thinking to, we're thinking about
the motherland.
The motherland. How are you liking Sweden?
It's nice.
Nice means?
It's well.
Well, that's not grammatically correct.
No, I always like Sweden. So something I guess all of you know, but I'm going to assume you guys don't know, is that I'm 35 and I lived 35 years in Aruba. I've never lived anywhere else in the world, and I always wanted to move away. Not move away, but I always wanted to live abroad. I always imagine it being 1 or 2 years, but you never know. And every time I come to Sweden, it really feels like coming to a home, coming to a secondary, yeah. I haven't been here, I think, in 3 years, and just biking here from city to city and getting to know it, like the roots better, and just going back to like your dad's little town where he has like his office, and it's just, you know, I've been coming here for 11 years. It really feels nice to be here.
And you fit in here too.
Apparently.
Everyone who sees Dennis is like, Dennis, man, you look so Swedish. Like, I don't know what it is about. Like, no one ever sees you in a sweater and shoes.
Yeah, I don't know how. So those are all contradicting, because I don't know how you look Swedish and then you walk around barefoot, board shorts, and like a...
I don't know.
A shirt that they don't sell here, or...
But you are like all or nothing. You're either like weed whacking barefoot like a true Aruban, or you're like walking through the forest in flip-flops with no clothes when it's cold and Leia has like a jacket.
Yeah.
Or you're wearing this like very Swedish looking cute little sweater and shoes, and there's something about your hair, and like, I don't know, like when you put on like cold weather clothes, you look super Swedish.
With sweaters I can see that, but I can't go in the water, for instance. It's way too cold. Yeah, I don't know.
We finally got a thermometer. So when I came here, it was 6 degrees. Like, because people here were measuring, and other people who were like braving the super cold. It was 6 degrees Celsius. Okay. It's 18 degrees Celsius. Or it was yesterday.
Yesterday, 18. Yeah.
Yeah. Might even be. And yesterday was like a little colder than normal days. So we might even have like 20 degrees Celsius, which is Swedish summer waters. Like, it's super warm. It's really nice. And Dennis got a full body wetsuit.
For distance swimming.
Yes, Ben.
Any Swedish person who was going to do distance swimming would have had that wetsuit on.
But would they FYI. Also, would they also like dip like more than their toes into the water?
No. If they go for a dip or a little swim by the dock, I'm sure they're in their Speedos.
Where is your little dip or swim by the dock?
I'm not Swedish. But if they went for the swim that I did yesterday, they would have had that wetsuit on too.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, 100%. Okay. It's really funny because I swim like 3 times a day and I've been swimming since it was 6 degrees.
You dip 3 times a day.
No. Yeah, okay. I'm not training for any Ironman. I'm not swimming kilometers. Okay, I go for a mini swim and then I dip and I go back up. But 3 times a day. And I feel like it's so warm now. I'm not even enjoying the swims as much because you don't get that feeling in your body the way you do when it's winter. 10 degrees or when it's really cold, that feeling of like, oh, there's something, apparently there's something that happens to the vagus nerve and like a whole process in the body after the cold dips, like cold plunge. I mean, you know, Wim Hof, all of this, it's like super popular now. And now it's too warm. Like, I don't get that feeling. I mean, I still love it. I still swim every day, but I don't get that same feeling. And then it's just like, like you were trying to make Leia swim the other day because she hasn't like actually swam. She's just dipped. And then she was on the ladder and she's like, I don't know, it's so cold. I don't know if I can do it. I don't wanna. And then it said, Leia, go swim to mama right now and Papa will dip too. And she went, okay. And she just jumped in and swam to me. And then it was like, no. It's not that bad.
No, it's afterwards, it's great. It feels really refreshing. It's just, I can't, but I have this problem in Aruba too.
Yeah, in Aruba too. And Leia's like, come Papa, let's swim. And he's like, taking 25 minutes to go into the water. Once we, if we move here and we have a sauna, it's also different.
That I've done.
Yeah.
Actually.
Dip in the cold and then I've go into the warm.
I've done the sauna thing, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's rare. I mean, most, where we are, this cabin, it's more like a, like it's a vacation, like a summer home. Most places like this would have a sauna. Like apartment buildings in Stockholm, in the cities, like have saunas. Like everyone kind of, like a sauna is not a luxury thing, it's just a Swedish thing. So not having a sauna here, I think people think it's a little weird to swim a lot and not have a sauna when it's cold.
Really?
Yeah. But do you think you could, I mean, everybody wants to know, could you see yourself like living here, actually moving here
in Sweden?
Yes, this is a two-part question. In Sweden, yeah.
In Sweden, yes, easy. Check.
And in this beautiful property that I have fallen in love with here.
In a regular house on this property, yes. In a little cabin, sleeping with all of us in that one bed, I don't know how long I can do that.
Also, five times a day, you hear a dentist go, boom, ow.
Oh, yeah. I hit my head. I have like bumps and scabs on my head because it's so small. Just, I walk into the building, I hit my head into the lamp. And then I go to the bathroom, I hit my head into the like the top of the
door.
And, yeah, and then I go up to the loft. Like one of my shoulders has scabs, like from like hitting my shoulder onto the ceiling.
How is the door? The door to the bathroom. I can't walk into the bathroom without like crouching.
I think it's 5'5" in feet, maybe 160.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I have to really cower down to like get it. And then in the bathroom you can stand up. It's just the door cut, like the door frame. It's super low. Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking because all the other door frames are normal.
I think it's this cabin. It's from the end of 1700s. So I think people were shorter 300 years ago.
For one of the doors?
Yeah, it's a little unclear. I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, the dream. Okay, so I know people ask this all the time. Like, are you going to get to buy the house? Are you going to get to buy the property? We still have no answer. It's still a hard maybe. It's like 50-50 at this point. We
definitely maybe.
Yeah, it's most definitely a maybe. So we still don't know. We still don't have any more input. I have kind of...
But that's the thing. Like you're like all or nothing. You're like, oh, if this is not happening, I'll go back to Aruba. And then I'm like, either we commit to Sweden and like figure it out or we commit to Aruba. But
yeah, but I don't think it's fair either. Like this, I committed to this land. I feel like the land committed.
You committed to Sweden before you knew this land existed, though.
No.
You were ready to move into your brother's farm before.
To heal, to like, I needed to escape mold hell. And I'm like, I need to find some cold water in a forest. I don't care where that is. Like, I was ready to move into, like, my brother has it's like a run down.
It used to be a farm.
Like, it used to be a bod. I don't even know how to say that. Like, a barn, kind of. Yeah. That was like, he was like, it's not good. It's really gross. Like, no. I mean, you can't even like go into the bathroom there. And I was like, we can figure it out. Like, I was ready to live, however, just to have a place to live. But except I was not ready to move in with my brother, though.
No, you were ready to move here for good in that little barn.
Not for good.
No, it felt like that. Not for life, but I mean for at least a year or two.
No.
That's what it felt.
This was when you and I weren't communicating a lot. You were still in mold hell. Maybe. No, I wanted a place for like the 3 months or 4 months that we're going to be here where I knew we wouldn't have to move and jump around, but where we would still be okay.
Yeah.
And that place just, I mean, yeah, you literally couldn't enter the bathroom. It was really gross. So I didn't commit to Sweden. I had this feeling I need to be in Sweden to heal from this. I need to be in Sweden to get away from this long, slow moving trauma of like losing the house and all of our things and being sick. So I didn't feel that.
It was at that point where people were telling us that you have to tear down the house.
Yeah.
Like it was. Yeah.
Burn it down. Like
like we were talking to specialists in Aruba who didn't see the house, just hearing our stories. And I don't know. And they were trying to explain that a lot of times it's cheaper to just start over.
Specialists in the States, you mean?
Yeah. That haven't, like they were talking from other experiences.
Yeah. Like we did find out that the extent that we thought that it wasn't that as bad.
No.
Like actually when the mold dude came to the house was like, yeah, you can figure this out.
Yeah.
This is not a burn the house down kind of situation at all. And we're really glad we found that out before we went into debt to work with the American companies. Like that would have not been okay. But I mean, no, it was that feeling of something is calling me, you know, I have to get to Sweden. I didn't expect to at all. Like the first place we go, it turns out to be a place where, like, this was the place I would close my eyes and dream of. And I'd never seen this place before. Like, this was the dock. This was the water. This was the cabin. This was the place. And as soon as I set foot here, it was like the land was just took a hold of me. Like, this is where you're supposed to be. And I don't feel like that about Sweden as a whole. Like, I'm not ready. This whole time we've been here, I have not been on, like, a website or a realtor site.
Yeah, but that's for... It's like for beginners.
I haven't inquired into any property anywhere because I'm not interested.
Yeah.
It's not like I want to live somewhere in Sweden. Let's find a place we like. It's like this place is calling my heart, my soul. my roots. Like, that's what I feel like. And if we're not, if they don't want to sell and we can't live here, then I don't have a, I feel no longing to like, oh, let's start to find another place in Sweden that we love. Then it's like,
and then we go back home to Aruba.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we should talk about this. I don't know. What do you want to do?
Like, I mean, this land is okay. It's nice.
Fuck you.
It's pretty. I only have it. I can only compare this.
This is Dennis's sarcastic, like.
Well, we're for people that doesn't know, Rachel's dad has a little island too, and that's the only comparison I have. Like, so they're similar. They're very pretty, but it's like all I know is like a lot of water.
Like
Sweden
Patrick
means
was
water.
Saying, like Dennis needs to like know what it's like to be a normal person. He can't just compare. Like my dad has a very, very, very nice place. It's a dream of dreams. It's like this place, but 360 degrees water because it's its own island. And Dennis is like, compared to that, this place is also really beautiful. And I'm like, dude, compared to anywhere in the world, this place is utopia. Like it's paradise. I mean, it would be good if you spent a year in a small apartment somewhere in the city.
Let's do it.
No, no.
Let's do it.
No, no.
I always wanted to live in a city.
And the special thing about this place, it's not just like this to me is way more special than my dad's place, even though my dad's place is more luxurious and.
Yeah, you know, I'm just talking about land. I'm not talking about buildings. Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's pretty. Yeah, it would be great if we can figure it out. But my point was that I don't feel like it's this or nothing. My point is like, we have to choose first. Are we living in Aruba or are we living in Sweden? Yeah. That's point number one. If we're not living here, then I need to start figuring shit back out in Aruba to make sure that we have a home.
But so,
because school starts quite soon.
So if they say yes and they want to sell to us,
then it's probably still going to take a 6 month period before we can actually buy it or something. It's like you don't like, hey, let's purchase.
No, you can like, I have a different vision. But if they would say yes, obviously the long-term plan would be to build a size house where you don't hit your head five times a day.
Like, with normal sized doors.
With normal sized door frames. That would be the dream. But either way, that would take time, right? It would take time to, all of this is going to take time. But if by some magic, I have to like knock on all the wood as I say this, if they decide that yes, they want to sell, like, are you going to be happy about that? Are you going to be excited about that? Are you like this, I could live anywhere in Sweden? Do you feel some sense of belonging here? I mean, you've been here a week.
I've been here a week, so it's harder for me to answer that question to this property, but I do have a sense of belonging to this country.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying like either we commit to Sweden or we just don't. But yeah, I don't want to put like all of this pressure on this piece of land.
It is also you.
That's me as a person, yeah.
Don't jinx it. We don't want to just want this place. You have to also like...
Yeah,
spread your longing around a little bit.
Not only that, but no canta gloria, as they say it in the Papiamento. It's like don't sing glory before.
Don't ropa inte hej innan du över bäcken. It's like before your dreams have come true. Don't like don't jinx it. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you biked here the other day.
Yeah, I biked from here. I went through I think 5 cities. I took like a long excursion to get to your dad's place. I know it wasn't that long, 80 kilometers. We swam here. That was super nice. Swam from the dock to go to like this only nature. So you swam from one point to another point where it's like all, how do you say, rocks, I guess?
Yeah, cliffs and little.
And the other day, which was really nice, was that me and Leia, we got to go rowboating to the island across, which is also like a nature preserve place. So it's like all the, it's like nature within nature. Within nature?
Nature within, it's like nature inception.
I still have to go do a run though. I think the trails here would be really beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. But could you see yourself living this kind of nature life?
Ah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I wasn't mowing lawns and shit?
You're mowing the lawn. You're just...
fixed the barn. I fixed their broken barn.
He fixed... Dennis is so proud. He fixed the one with one screw, the broken
by hand, not with
the
machines.
Broken barn lock. I fixed the broken barn. You're making it sound like you built a barn or like you renovated.
I mean, it wasn't. It was
the door. It was the lock on the door that he fixed. I know. No, you're just playing it down a little bit. I mean, I was saying the other day, like talking to my friend, like he seems like he really loves it. Like every day I see you relaxing a little bit more. Every day I see you lying in the hammock, like enjoying the Swedish weather, you know, like.
I mean, I am a small town boy, like coming from Aruba, it's all quiet. So it feels similar. It's not, it doesn't feel out of my element.
No.
You know?
You are like a country boy at heart. But so my this is something my dad used to say. And you always were offended by this a little bit. You remember this? When we met.
You called me a farmer.
No. When we met, I think what he was trying to say was that you're like the salt of the earth kind of guy. That's a really good expression for this. Like a salt of the earth, like a person who's just very grounded and very genuine and, you know. But what he said was like, you know, Dennis, if he was Swedish, he would be one of those guys who lives in the country and drives a tractor with a cap on and backwards.
And if you were to call one of those people with one word?
Like farmer boy. That is not what he meant. He meant like a salt of the earth kind of guy. But what he said was like, if you were Swedish, you would be a farmer boy, which to me is like a dream. Like I want to be a farmer. My dream is to literally to, I don't want to have cattle or animals or that. I just want to be like a self-sufficient.
You want to grow what you eat.
I want to grow what we eat. Like I would love to be a farmer. To me, that's the dream. But the way you interpreted it when he said that like 10 years ago was like, why is your dad 11. Telling me like 11 years ago? Why is your dad calling me like some sort of country boy?
I remember that day. I think your dad had the construction going on at his house or he needed firewood. Something was happening and I came to his house and I didn't even really care to go in so much. All I did was like saw the pile of wood that someone was working on and I went to help chop wood can't remember. Anyway, so it must have come from that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He was like, here's a good strong pair of hands here. Yeah. But I mean, my dad likes you more than he likes me. So I'm fair. It is really true. To me, this is like, yeah, it really depends on your perspective. You know, if your perspective is you want to live in a city and you want to have a cafe with new barista, amazing espresso to go to every day, and you want to go shopping and you want to go to a museum and you want to live that kind of like city life, then this place is really far away. It's like,
yeah.
And then I was on the phone I was talking to Shuba today with another friend. She was like, so this paradise that I'm seeing on Instagram, like, oh my goodness, where is it? And I'm like, it's 45 minutes from Stockholm. She's like, what? That's nothing. Oh my God, that's the dream. What? You have the paradise, but it's right by the city. So anytime you go in, and if you want to live the city life 45 minutes, it's like, it's never going to happen. It's way too far. It's crazy. You know, how do you feel about that? Would you be okay being like a country person that visits the city, or do you still, because you always used to envision yourself as a...
I always wanted to live in a city because of living in a country my whole life, like living on a little island where nothing happens, but I wouldn't know how I would do in a city, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like here I feel like I have more experience of how I was raised and how I was brought up, how I could, you know, we're used to land, like in Aruba too, you're used to having a property compared to a city where it's just apartment living. Mm-hmm. But then again, I know how it would do here. I don't know how I would do it there, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But I still would like to do it one day.
So the actual utopia dream of dreams would be to have this parasite.
Yeah, we need parasites in our lives.
This paradise place in the country, but you would have like an overnight apartment in the city or something like that.
Well, that sounds,
I think that sounds
like things
like
that we can't afford.
No, obviously not. But I'm just trying to like wrap my head around your dream.
No, I don't know.
We talk a lot about...
I need routines.
Yeah.
That's it. I need routines. I need to know, like we would have an office here, of course. Then I don't know if the office would be in Stockholm. We have an office in Stockholm.
We have a Stockholm.
Oh, shit.
By the way, we have a Stockholm office.
So probably drive later to school on my way to Stockholm and be at the office and then come back and see how that routine goes.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy. Like we're here on vacation. So it's harder to imagine if you're not in your regular day-to-day routine.
But even our day-to-day routine at home in Aruba, it's like I never leave the house.
No, you work from home.
I work from home. I don't like leaving the house. I don't like going to the grocery store. I don't even like going out for dinner. Like I don't like to leave at all.
And I love to leave.
And then is like, takes Lee out of school every day and then does all his errands and then goes to the studio and then goes to the cafe and grabs a coffee. And you're always out and about. So we are different in that kind of.
Yeah, I do feel I'm built that way. Like, mm-hmm. I'm always going from one place to another place. It's just, even like now, for instance, if I wanted to do something with Leia, I'm going to like, oh, where can I take her? That's like my immediate like thought.
And I'm like, what can we create here in the garden? Like, what kind of adventure can we have, like in the woods here? Or can we have some sort of arts and crap moment at home? Or, and here, speak of the cutie pie. Hey, Leia, we are recording a podcast. Would you like to say something? You don't want to watch the movie? Okay. You want to join us for the podcast? Okay, come. You want another movie? Papa, can you put another movie?
Just in time for our commercial break.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
So truth to all of this could be, we might get a no. For me, it's if we can't buy this property, the closest thing for me, it's closer that we just go back to Aruba and Leia goes to school where she has a spot in school, right?
Yeah.
And then next year, maybe we try for Sweden again, or we see where life kind of takes us. Like, that seems more realistic than to start to try to find another place that we would love as much as we love this place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't want to think about that.
Well,
you know, I'm going to have like a, I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown, but you know, I'm going to grieve if we don't get to stay here.
Okay.
Okay. Will you take care of me when I grieve?
But yeah, let's figure that out, because I need to put things into motion, if anything.
Whichever direction we go,
because we're like literally 1 foot in, 1 foot across Atlantic right now.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people that have asked me to ask you. I mean, this is like a couple's question, but for people who are going through like a mold-related situation.
Run. Look for the highest hill.
Why?
To run for the hills.
Why do you have to run up the hill? Why can't you run down the hill?
I don't know. Is that not a saying?
I don't know. Run for the hills, I guess. Look for the highest hill and run there. Okay, that is advice. But what is your advice? And I mean, I guess, yeah, specifically around this, like, would you have done something differently
before? Like
I mean, obviously, don't get mold.
Yeah,
that's the advice of the hour.
The one from our bedroom, we could have like
prevented.
We could have prevented, but we didn't know.
We didn't know.
We don't know, and people just didn't know when they installed that. They didn't see it as a problem. For the ceiling, I guess, to be honest, I think 1 in 4 people in Aruba has that problem.
They have the same mold. Yeah,
it's very common.
In the US, they say 1 in 3, like, buildings, apartments, homes are water damaged and have mold.
I'm sure. I'm sure it's a lot more common.
Yeah.
Not everyone is as prone to getting sick to it, mm-hmm. until you really get sick and then you're fucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have no advice. I just wish any one of you never to go through this ever in your life.
Ever in anyone's life. But I mean, we had a lot of people write that said that after listening to the show or finding out more about mold and things like that, they figured out that, oh, wait, this is why I'm sick. Or wait, this is the room I can never go into because I feel like shit when I'm in there, like that they found something.
How does that make you feel, that you cost them a lot of money?
I don't know. I feel good and bad, because I feel good that it's good to know.
Yeah, like, it's of course, nice to have answers.
Of course, you need answers. You need awareness. You can't fix what you don't know is broken, right? But of course, it also sucks to find out that you have this massive issue that you have to deal with, especially if you don't have the funds, if you don't have the support and or the ability in your life. But you wanna not be sick. You wanna live in a healthy home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the literally the only way. The good news, I guess, is that it is solvable. What felt like when you and I were in the Airbnb, like the first Airbnb when we just moved out and we had no clue where to start. We were just waiting
for answers.
Waiting for appointments, waiting for consultants to get back to us, waiting for quotes, waiting for we had no clue.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of long moments there where I felt like this is not going to be okay. We're just going to lose our home or stay sick forever or like none of the or fight till we divorce or something because we fought so much in the beginning. I mean, but sitting here now, like we are okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel good?
In what way?
you're so deep. There's
How do you mean?
So much detailed depth and wisdom coming out of you right now. How are you feeling? Like, how do you feel physically? How do you feel spiritually? Like, how do you feel about this scenario being here now compared to where we were a couple months ago? Like, how do you feel?
Like, health-wise, I would say I feel like I personally never felt that I was sick, even though the results said I was fucked. So health-wise, I don't know. I feel the same. Spiritually, I don't know how to answer that question because we're kind of up in the air. We still don't know what's happening with our lives. Mm. It's the middle of this year and we still don't know what's happening. Leia is supposed to start school in August and it would be nice to have like
a decision,
an answer there, especially for that sake. Did we say that we visited schools today?
No.
We visited some schools today here to see how it would be.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Mix. I felt mix. It makes you appreciate all the things that people here have in Sweden, that they have, like the school system or the schools that we saw that they have here. But at the same time, it makes me appreciate what we have in Aruba a whole lot.
Yeah.
It's, you kind of see what you're missing.
What's good and what's not good.
Yeah. You kind of see what you're missing in Aruba and then you're kind of seeing what's missing here in Sweden. It would be nice if they can just have a little chit chat and then...
And figure it out and find it's perfect. But I'm wondering, and we are new to this because we have a four-year-old and I know once your kid, you're six, seven, eight, you start to actually commit to a real, real school.
Well, in Aruba...
Like, what are the systems like overall? I mean, Aruba versus the States versus Sweden. I think there's a lot of flaws in every school system.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And Leia's going into like a fancy Montessori school in Aruba, which is not considered normal kindergarten. But at the same time, in Aruba, at the age of four, we have a thing called Lehrpflicht, which is like you have to go to school. It's mandatory to go to school. No one can stay home from the age of four. So
it was four.
From the age of four.
What? So,
yeah, that's why.
Why didn't I know that?
Because you don't go to those meetings.
No, I hate those meetings.
But for instance, before now, it was not necessary. But before, like, we wouldn't need a letter from the teacher saying that, oh, she's allowed to go on this vacation because she's supposed to be in school.
Yeah. But we always said, like, this school where we were or are in Aruba, it's an anomaly. This is not the standard.
It's beautiful.
What is going to happen when she turns seven and she has to go to real school? Like, which school would we choose? Is any of them going to be feel good?
That's a problem for future Dennis and Rachel.
It's a problem for future Dennis and Rachel, but it's coming up quick. We're like 2.5 years away from that being the case. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, in half a year ago, we still had a house that...
You mean things can change really quickly?
Well, if you want to see it in those words.
Things can blow up in your face really quickly. Yeah,
that's what you said. No, what was the question? I was answering questions.
About the school. Like, what you thought of the school and certain things are good and certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah. We visited two. We're going to visit some more. Like, we need to get the feel for things.
For instance,
what's the vibe overall?
One of the schools that we visited today, they had a soccer field, they had a basketball court, they had a
huge playground,
and
everything is wooden. It's in the forest by a lake.
Coming from Aruba, we don't have that. Yeah. We just have a classroom.
But that's crazy. And here, it's like every school has a soccer pitch.
I'm sure in the States it's like that too, but in Aruba it's very much minimal. And then you go
it's
home
a building
at one,
and then you go home. Yeah.
You go home, and then you figure it out. And it's up to the parents to put you in after school programs or trainings or arts and crap.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, here it's not the case at all. Like,
yeah, so that's what I really like about here.
Like, they really hold you. And then when school is over, if you're not ready to pick up your kid, there's fritis, which is like the after school, which is usually like a separate building or a program at the school.
Yeah.
And the kids are really held and safe. And I mean, this place, like the first place we got to, they were building a lådbil. What do you call it? Like a car that you make from a wooden box.
Okay.
In Sweden, it's a thing. They're building a car. And the teachers are there like sawing wood with the kids. The kids get to saw. They get to like learn practical things. They're like, they're out under the trees in a little patch of wood of the woods. Like, it's super beautiful. The other school, like Leia just joins this group and they're just sitting there under a tree, like with sticks and twigs and yarn, like making art from things they've found in the woods. Like, it's just a whole...
She brought back a stick lady.
She brought back a stick figure, a stick lady, she called her. No, I mean, it's just all very wholesome and very precious. But then there's also a component to that where just the system of, they have to, each school in Sweden has to follow, of course, the Swedish system, the same way like Aruba has their system and the US have, of what they're supposed to learn and how that's supposed to happen.
And the curriculum, I guess.
The curriculum and how, you know, if it's not Montessori, which you can only do for a certain amount of time here, you have to sit in at a desk for like 8 hours a day and just sit there and listen. Like, that system, I don't...
That's what I grew up with.
Yeah, but I grew up with that too. It sucks. How many kids are actually made for that? How many humans are made for that? It's when that's not... To me, it's not an organic, natural way to learn.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. And that made me a little depressed. Like, eventually, wherever we are, we will have to conform to this like traditional... I don't know.
Or maybe by then it's changed.
Maybe... We start our own school.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Maybe we homeschool.
No, thank you.
Maybe we...
We're trying to get her out of the house.
I don't know. Yeah, this is a problem for future. Yeah. And I would love to hear from people listening, just creative solutions to... Like, I guess what we haven't done is have enough conversations with parents around schooling. We've been in this, like, kid years. I mean, anything below four, you're not thinking about school. She's just playing. Everything is play.
Yeah,
and now it feels like a big thing because wherever we commit, we're also committing to this idea of education, which is fucking weird.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you feel educated enough?
I feel very, very poor educated.
No. You don't feel poor educated.
No, I don't know.
Have you shared this on the podcast before, how Dennis bailed on college
at the exams
at the exam?
Yeah,
typical Aries thing to do, by the way, for any Aries suns or moons listening. Dennis was at the exam, had a disagreement with his teacher.
Not at the exam, right before
the exam, had a disagreement with his teacher, where the teacher said, without the exam
you will become nothing in life,
without the diploma you're nothing. And Dennis said, well, fuck you, let me prove you wrong. Bailed on the exam, didn't get the diploma even though he had finished school.
Everything that didn't have an exam, because you have like six subjects that has an exam and everything else doesn't. I basically graduated everything except for the last exams.
To prove a point?
The one sitting in the cabin on the lake right now, huh?
What do you you think that teacher is doing?
Probably living life, doesn't even know I exist.
Look at me now, teach.
Yeah, that's
made it.
Not my proudest moment in life.
Do you regret that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I regret it, to be honest.
No.
I met you right after.
life figured it out for you. But that's a typical you thing to do.
I know. I don't know. I don't know why.
Let me prove you wrong by fucking up my own future a little bit, potentially.
I'll show you.
you'll
see.
They'll see.
But no, I think that was like a moment in my life that a lot of things happened that put me in the direction that I am now. So I can't regret it, but if Leia does something like this, I would lose my shit. I can't even believe that my mom allowed all of this to happen, to be honest. I don't think it was controllable either, but yeah.
Yeah, would you have listened to her? Probably not.
I know, probably not.
No.
But she's very easygoing too. Yeah. She's like, oh, okay, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, and you did.
There.
You did figure it out.
Yeah.
Life's okay.
But if I finished that college, I probably would have been in the Netherlands when we would have met.
And we would have never met.
Basically.
See? Oh my God, I'm so grateful you bailed on that exam. I'm so grateful for that asshole teacher.
Yeah. Probably Leia would be grateful too.
And hey, Leia, you want to record a podcast? Okay, we're just about to wrap up and say bye-bye to everybody because it's time for you to have dinner. But do you want to say something? Come. Do you want to say something about Sweden? What you think about Sweden so far? You're a little bit shy. That's good. You can be shy. Here. What would you like to say, my darling?
What do you think about Sweden? I would like to say... That's when the best part of Sweden is picking flowers.
The best part of Sweden is picking flowers?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Cuddling with you.
Cuddling with us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you love cuddling with us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like the schools that we saw today?
Did you like the schools that we saw today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Would you want to stay in Sweden a little while?
Yeah.
Let's see if we do that.
Okay.
Do you want to say thank you so much for listening to our podcast?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. What else do you want to say?
That.
Speak a little louder, darling.
That drawing on a leaf.
The drawing on a leaf? You were drawing on a leaf?
No, I did not do that before.
Oh, you want to go draw on a leaf? Should we do that right now? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming to our podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And thanks, Papa, for joining us on the show. And thanks, Leia. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for listening today. I really hope by next week I have a life decision made so that we can get excited and talk about that too.
And start planning on where Leah's going to go to school.
Yeah, let's do that.
To you.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks for fixing our house.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey.
No, don't point at the kitchen.
Thanks for cleaning the kitchen. I have a therapy session now. So
then
if
you and your therapist can clean the kitchen together.
So if I can do therapy while you clean the kitchen, that would be...
Some say it's therapy work.
Okay, love you lots. Bye.
Okay, hey, Dora.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And of course, thanks to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. This has been a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio. If you enjoy this show, please listen, rate, review, and follow all other episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. I'll see you next week.